Do you love Yankee baseball? If so, this is the show for you. Welcome to Pinstripe Talk with your host, Nick Delahanty. Welcome to another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. It's been a long winter, but we are finally in the month of February, counting down the days until the New York Yankees report to spring training. As we count down those days, it's important to note that we are now under 10 days until the Yankees report to their spring training home in Tampa, Florida, as pitchers and catchers will be at George M. Steinbrenner Field on February 13th. Very exciting. There's a lot to look forward to with this New York Yankee team. There's a lot of expectations. You know, last year didn't end the way that the Yankees anticipated, but there is hope that 2019 will bring another World Series championship to the Bronx. As we look ahead to spring training, this show will look at some of the non-roster invitees that will be making their way to Tampa. We'll talk about some of the guys that the Yankees did invite, and how they might have a chance to impact this Yankee roster moving forward. We'll also talk about the Hall of Fame inductions of Mariano Rivera and Mike Mussina, and a lot more to get into, especially given that the free agent market, there are still a lot of the key names still on the board. We'll discuss how that impacts the Yankees and other teams in the American League East all during this show. A reminder to our followers that you can find us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND. You can also follow my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. You can listen to the show many different ways. Apple Podcast, if you listen on there, please subscribe to the show, rate, review, leave your comments and feedback. All of your feedback is appreciated. You can also find this on Simplecast, TuneIn Radio, Google Play Music, and Spotify. There are tons of ways to listen to our show. We hope that you in turn take the time out of your busy days to take a listen and join us in our conversations about the New York Yankees and much more. Before we get into our spring training talk, I want to talk about the big news that broke just a couple of weeks ago in regards to the Hall of Fame, as two former Yankees will be inducted into Cooperstown this summer, those two Yankees being Mike Mussina and, of course, Mariano Rivera. Mussina was a great pitcher for the Yankees, and I think it's well-deserved that he is getting into the Hall of Fame. I think it's a little bit later than I thought he should have been in. But regardless, it doesn't say on your plaque what year on the ballot you got in. You got in. And Mussina is a guy that, throughout his 18-year career, pitched his entire career in the American League East. And let's not forget, from 1991 to 2008, the American League East had a lot of very good hitting teams. You know, you look at the Boston Red Sox when Mussina was with the Orioles facing off against the Yankees. These teams were bringing the best of the best lineups, and Mussina every year had to find a way to maneuver through that. He was always up to the challenge, you know, came over to the Yankees, was a bright spot in the Yankees rotation for 8 years, and this guy, although he fell short of that 300 win plateau, still finished his career with a 270 win mark, which in itself is an accomplishment. And the way the game is going now, how many guys do you really think in the future will have 270 wins? You know, the trend in baseball is guys are pitching less innings. You don't see guys going deeper into games. They're not built the same way that they used to be built. And I think that baseball is going to start this criteria dropping in a way that 300 win mark is more of a milestone, that it's a guarantee you get in to the Hall of Fame as long as you're not connected to steroid issues or anything else. But I think that baseball is looking for more of a resume in itself, that wins is not the only thing that matters. I think that's why Mussina got in. You see a couple of other guys that didn't reach that 300-win plateau that did get into the Hall of Fame eventually. There was a lot of speculation when Mussina got into the Hall of Fame as to whether or not he would wear an Orioles or a Yankee hat on his plaque. I think that the right decision was made in terms of putting no logo. Yes, he spent two more years in Baltimore. He had 24 more wins with the Orioles than he did with the Yankees. But you have to also take into consideration, Mussina was a key contributor on a bunch of Yankee teams that went into the postseason and beyond. You know, as good as he was with the Orioles, he was just as good with the Yankees. You could compare the numbers, and some things are better with the Orioles than with the Yankees and vice versa. But this was a guy who, throughout his career, made almost an even impact for two franchises. And I think that that is something that shouldn't go unnoticed. You know, it would be kind of wrong to pick one or the other when he really was a great pitcher for both teams. So I think they made the right decision by not representing either team, and him going in knowing, you know, he's one of those rare occasions where his career basically was split in half. There's some guys that have been in the Hall of Fame that did choose one or the other, or if they played for multiple teams, they chose the one that they made the biggest impact with. I have no problem with Mussina going into the Hall of Fame with no logo on his plaque. I think that it's the right decision by baseball, and I think they understood that. You know, as great as he was with the Yankees, he was just as good with the Orioles. As a longtime fan of Mussina, I have to say that I'm very happy for him. And watching him pitch growing up, he pitched through the majority of my childhood. I really idolized the way he conducted his business on the mound. And I was always a fan. Every time he did pitch for the Yankees, especially when he was in New York, I always tuned into the games because I loved watching the way he went about his business and the way he conducted himself on the field. There's vivid moments I remember of him throughout his playing career. I'll never forget the broken up no-hitter in the ninth inning in Fenway Park. But Mussina was one of those guys that he was always up to the challenge, regardless of how good or bad his team was. You know, you look at those Orioles teams and you can make the case that, you know, some of those teams weren't as exactly great teams, but he still was a competitor. He was still competing against some of the best teams in the American League, night in and night out. And his numbers prove it. You know, he had a lot of great years, finishing the Cy Young Award, voting numerous times, was an All-Star a handful of times. This was a guy that represented the game well. I think Cooperstown did the right thing, and the voters did the right thing by finally putting him in as a member of the class of 2019. And that brings us to Mariano Rivera. And, you know, the writers finally got something right in terms of the Hall of Fame voting. There was all speculation that would we ever see somebody gain 100% of the writers' votes for a Hall of Fame induction? And we've seen guys in the past that have come up just short. I can think of Ken Griffey as one of those guys. Mariano Rivera, in my opinion, if they weren't willing to put him in with 100% of the vote, I never thought that baseball would see the day that somebody would get 100% unanimous vote into Cooperstown. The writers understood this going in, and I think that they finally gave up that kind of notion that it could never be done or that it should never be done, because Mariano Rivera is the greatest closer to ever play the game of baseball. And that's without a doubt. There's certain things in life that are true and that you can't really argue. You know, you wake up in the morning, you look outside, the sky is blue, the grass is green. Mariano Rivera is the greatest closer to ever play this game, and it's not even close. 652 career saves, most all time. That's not even to mention what this guy did in the postseason. You look at all the names on the Yankees teams during the championship runs. You could pick out handfuls of guys that were key impact players. You could look at Jeters, the Jeter types of the world. You could look at guys like Tino Martinez, Bernie Williams, Jorge Posada. Was there anybody more valuable than Mariano Rivera? When the Yankees got a lead late into the game, opposing teams knew that Mariano was lurking in the bullpen. Come the ninth inning, Enter Sandman was coming out at Yankee Stadium. And that place was going crazy, and you knew the game was over. I saw an interesting fact that kind of amazed me. There was more people that have walked on the moon than scored runs in the postseason off of Mariano Rivera. And for the amount of time that Rivera pitched in the postseason, that's an amazing feat. And if you look around the game, so many people have honored and recognized the greatness of Rivera. And he's such a humble human being that he's a perfect example of what a major leaguer should be. And if you have a young child who wants to be a future major leaguer, they should be emulating Mariano Rivera. Because not only is he a great person on the field and a great baseball player, but he's just as great of a person off the field. I'll tell you a little story. 2003, I had the honor of going on the field at the old Yankee Stadium for batting practice. And that day, I can remember it to this day, it was 100 degrees, one of the hottest days of that summer. Guys were out taking batting practice, and you could see the sweat dripping off their face. You know, it was way too hot for anything that day. But there were still guys that were battling through it. You know, I had the pleasure of meeting guys like Don Mattingly, who was a coach for the Yankees at the time, Alex Rodriguez, Johnny Damon. But I'll never forget sitting in that dugout in that 100-plus degree weather and Mariano Rivera going out of his way to come over and talk to me. You know, it made a lasting impact on me. Yeah, he signed a baseball for me. We had a conversation. But the conversation didn't revolve around Mariano. He was more interested to know what I had to say, what I wanted to talk to him about. And that will always stand out to me. That's a kind of lasting impression that I'll always have of Rivera. And I'm sure that that wasn't just an act for me, because I was a little kid, a starstruck over this guy who is now the greatest closer to ever pitch in his game. This is how Mariano was and always conducted himself. And seeing that he got 100% of the vote was beyond exciting for me because he truly deserves it. As a Yankee fan, as somebody who watched him my entire childhood, I couldn't be more happy for him, and I congratulate him for breaking another baseball barrier by being the first player to ever get 100% of the vote. And without a doubt, it's well deserved. So two Yankees going into Cooperstown this summer. It should be fun come July down there in Cooperstown. I definitely would love to get down there, whether for Rivera or Jeter ceremony next year, because obviously Jeter's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer next year as well. So it's an exciting time in Cooperstown as two more Yankee legends are getting in to the prestigious Baseball Hall of Fame this upcoming summer. Now let's turn our attention back to spring training and the excitement of the fact that the Yankees are so close to reporting to their spring training complex in Tampa, Florida. This past week, the Yankees announced their non-roster spring invitees to join them with the big league camp. And there's a few interesting names on the table that I think personally have a chance to crack the big league roster or have a chance to impact the organization in terms of depth purposes. There are a few names that we will highlight during this show off that list, and we'll discuss some of those players and how they could potentially impact the Yankees, whether it be at AAA or with the big league club. Let's start with Rex Brothers, a 31-year-old left-handed pitcher, mostly a reliever. Why would this matter for the Yankees? It's simple. Another left-handed option with the guy who has a lot of big league experience under his belt. Coming into 2019, Brothers has 314 games in the big leagues. He did spend the season last year with the Braves minor league affiliate between AA and AAA. He did make one appearance in the big leagues. But he's a guy that could help the Yankees in terms of depth. And you know, we talk about the Yankees bullpen all the time, how great the back end of their bullpen is, especially with the additions of Adam Ottavino and the re-signing of Zach Britton. But we all know how the Yankees do like to shuffle some of those guys in the bullpen, especially the long relievers. Sometimes they like to add or subtract relievers based on what their needs are for that given day. Say they have a long extra inning game, they need a fresh arm out of the pen. Brothers could be a guy who could help them, especially if they're looking for a left-handed specialist out of the pen. Coming into spring training, I could see him competing for one of the final spots in the bullpen. If not, he'll be a piece in AAA that the Yankees could always look to use later on in the season. So I think this is an interesting guy to keep an eye out for in camp. And we'll see if he does actually get a chance to impact the Yankees in the Bronx this upcoming summer. We all know that the Yankees have a lot of depth in the outfield, but this is a guy who's intriguing to me, and that's Billy Burns, a 29-year-old center fielder, switch hitter. The Yankees signed him to a minor league deal, invited him to spring training camp. It's likely that he'll probably start the season with the Yankees AAA affiliate, but he's a guy that also comes with some big league experience. Has 242 big league games under his belt, career 270 hitter, a guy who has a lot of speed, is known to flash that speed throughout his career. He's a guy, to me, that makes sense in terms of depth in the organization. You know, the uncertainty about Jacoby Ellsbury's health, uncertainty about Clint Frazier's health. You look at a guy like Estevan Florival, who we'll talk about in a little bit. He's still a ways off. It doesn't hurt to have the depth. And Burns is a guy who I think the Yankees are trying to get a closer look at, especially because he's new to the organization, to see what he possibly could bring to the table. The thing that stands out to me about Burns, and it has nothing to do with baseball, is the fact that his father, Bob, was a running back for the New York Jets in 1974 and was teammates with Joe Namath. Now, as a Jets fan, that stands out to me. So, you know, I'm wishing Billy the best. We'll see what he can do in spring training. Maybe he can turn some heads. You know, there might be an opportunity with another club in the big leagues if he does have an impressive spring. So Burns has a lot to prove this spring. So I expect him to come into spring training looking to turn some heads, whether it be the Yankees organization or from some other club. The next guy we'll take a look at is Nestor Cortes Jr. He's another interesting left-hander. A 24-year-old was a Yankees 36th-round pick. If you remember, he was scooped up by the Orioles in the Rule 5 draft last year, ended up returning to the Yankees throughout the season. He was a guy they toyed around with in the bullpen, ended up going back into the starting rotation, was solid in the rotation for the Rail Riders in AAA, and then he ended up going into the Dominican Winter League and pitching 8 games over there, posted a 1.71 ERA in 42 innings. He's a guy that, to me, it's a matter of finding where he's going to fit in, whether he's going to be a bullpen arm or a starter. Now, if he's a bullpen arm and he can prove that he could pitch out of the bullpen, I think it makes more sense that he could make an impact on this Yankee team. However, if it shows that he's better off as a starter, I think that he does need some more time in AAA, and he will battle for one of the final spots in the Scranton Wilkes-Barre starting rotation. So he'll be a guy that will be looking to show that he is, in fact, a capable starting pitcher, but the Yankees might try to look otherwise and say, you know, this guy could help us in the bullpen. Now with a couple of other additions to the Yankees' bullpen in terms of depth, it'll be interesting to see where Cortes does play out as the season comes along, whether he will be a member of the rotation like he was last year, or do the Yankees view him as a potential left-handed specialist out of the bullpen and try to make him into an effective reliever. Danny Colom is also a very interesting name that the Yankees signed this offseason to a minor league deal. A left-handed pitcher, has spent some time with the Oakland A's organization. Back in 2017, he did make 72 appearances for the big league club. He's a guy that, although he's a left-hander, has done better against righties in his career, and he has that anti-fastball approach. If you look at the numbers, last season, he threw his slider about 37% of the time and his curveball for about 29% of the time, both of which were more than his four-seamer, which he only threw 19% of the time. So if you look at him, he's a little bit more of a crafty arm, a guy that probably will fit into the AAA bullpen to start, could be a guy that the Yankees could use down the stretch if they do have injuries in the bullpen or if they just need some fresh arms. A guy that could be an interesting low-risk, high-reward type of signing for the Bronx Bombers. I promise you we'll get to some offensive guys. There are a couple of key-name pitchers that the Yankees did invite to spring training camp that could have a chance to stand out. Another one of those pitchers is Danny Farquhar. And we all remember how Farquhar had the brain hemorrhage during a game last season with the White Sox. He was in critical condition. It's great to see that he is back and ready to be on the field. He'll have a chance to prove that he's still a capable pitcher in the big leagues. It's a great story for him. He'll definitely be somebody we'll be keeping an eye out for as the season approaches. Another guy that's coming back is David Hale. We all know how his season went. He was with the Yankees, then he was back in AAA. He was designated for assignment, went to the Twins, came back. It was a whole mess for him. He ended up signing in Korea toward the end of the season and finished the season in Korea, making 12 starts over there. He's a guy that the Yankees seem to like as they keep bringing him back into the mix. Could be a versatile arm for them, most likely to start the year in AAA, be used as organizational depth. And then the other guy that I was looking at is Drew Hutchinson, another guy who has some starting rotation experience. He should compete for a spot in the Scranton rotation. He's another guy that is versatile and could be used in multiple roles. Yankees could use the extra depth, especially in the starting rotation. You never know what to expect. Throughout a season, you're not going to get away with just having five starters, so it's valuable to have as many quality arms as you can. And Hutchinson's a guy who will look to earn a spot on this Yankee team, whether it's in AAA to start or whether he can work his way onto the big league club. I promise you this is the last pitcher, and it is Mike King, a great 23-year-old, had a great year with the Yankees organization pitching at three levels, won 11-5, 1.79 ERA. I think Yankee fans should be excited about this kid. I want to see what he can do in spring training. It'll be a great opportunity to show his worth and his value. Yes, I do think he needs more seasoning, but he's a guy that could make a future in the Bronx if he keeps continuing at this trend. Let's start with the aforementioned Estevan Florivo, the Yankees' number one rated prospect. He's a guy that you don't need to say much about. There's a lot of excitement going on in terms of Florio. However, he does need more seasoning, and it doesn't look like he will impact the Yankees just yet. He does need extra time in the minor leagues. I'm thinking that he'll end up in AAA by 2020 and have a chance to impact the Yankees past that time. Still a little ways off. He's still young. Remember, he's only 21 years old. But if he has a good year this year, that could speed up the process of him eventually making his debut in the Bronx. Let's remember, the Yankees have a lot of organizational depth in the outfield. They do not need to rush him. Yes, injuries happen, but we saw how the Yankees were last year with injuries and not rushing guys, as we saw Shane Robinson playing a lot of time out in the outfield. They're in no rush to bring him up. They want him to develop the best way he can, and he's an exciting and intriguing piece that should eventually make his debut in the Bronx. Then you look at Mike Ford, a first baseman who has a lot of pop. You know, a 26-year-old, he was a Rule 5 pick by the Mariners last year. He had a nice little audition for them. However, he didn't stick with the Mariners, got returned to the Yankees, and hit 253 in 102 games. He did have a couple of injuries last year from what the reports say, but he's a guy that has a lot of power, has a lot of potential. He's a guy that has hit 15 to 20 home runs in a season. Eventually, if the Yankees don't figure it out with Voit or Greg Bird filling in the void at first base, Mike Ford is a guy that might get a look at some point this season. Kyle Holder, the former first-round pick, 2015 draft. He had a really bad year last year, had a fractured vertebrae. His brother ended up passing away in June, and then he came back in August, suffered a concussion. So he just played in 48 games. He ended up spending time with AAA as a emergency option during the playoffs, but really wasn't a factor. Yankees like him for his defense and how smooth he is, has a really good arm. He's another guy that needs some seasoning. We'll probably spend the year in AA, make his way up to AAA as we go. Remember, the Yankees have Tyler Wade, Thairo Estrada. There are guys in the organization that are a little bit ahead of Holder. So if you're a Yankee fan, you hope that he has a better 2019, and you hope he gets back on track because he's a guy that the Yankees have a lot of hopes for. One thing that really stood out for the Yankees last year was their lack of catching depth. When you saw Gary Sanchez go down, the Yankees had to rely on Kyle Higashioka. Really didn't have much other depth other than Roman and Higashioka. So the Yankees have brought in Ryan LaVornwe on a minor league deal with an invite to spring training. Yankee fans will remember him for his time with the Red Sox. Did spend some time with them sparingly. He also did play for the Baltimore Orioles. Then he went over to the National League over the last couple of seasons. Doesn't hurt to have a lot of depth at the catcher position. He's a guy that should fill in the organization nicely, should help them keep some depth at AAA, should likely split time with Higashioka, catching the future arms at the AAA level. Then you look at Matt Lipka, a guy the Yankees signed, another outfield prospect, 26-year-old. He was with AA in the Giants system last year, hit 240 in 123 games. He's another outfield piece, probably between AA and AAA, another guy that will fill the organization via depth. And then you look at Giovanni Urshela, a guy the Yankees acquired from the Blue Jays in the trade. He'll be in the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre starting lineup as long as everything goes well. He's a guy that the Yankees really seem to have high hopes for, an infielder, hit 307 in 27 games, should be a standout performer for the Yankees in AAA, and who knows, maybe he will get a chance to play in the big leagues, depending on injuries or how the season does pan out. Now, as we look forward to spring training, there's still a lot of key names on the board in terms of free agency. You look at Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, Dallas Keuchel, Craig Kimbrell, to name a few. How does this impact the Yankees? Well, for starters, you hear the rumors about Machado wanting to play for the Yankees and how their numbers are just off in terms of what Machado's looking for and what the Yankees are willing to pay him. Honestly, I think that the Yankees roster, unless something crazy happens, is set for the most part heading into spring training. Yes, I think that they're looking to add another starter, maybe a guy like a Irvin Santana or a Gio Gonzalez, but I don't think they're going to go crazy in terms of spending. Yes, Machado or Harper might come to the Yankees and say, look, we're looking for a deal. This is something that would work for both sides. Do I think they would pull the trigger? I believe so, but I think that everything would have to fall into place, and right now I don't see that happening. So if I was a betting man, which I'm not, I would go into spring training thinking that the roster we see right now on the first weekend of February is the roster that we're going to see come that first date of reporting on February 13th. There are a lot of key free agents, and I expect that over the next week and a half, a lot of the dominoes will start to fall as these guys look to figure out where they're going to play in the future. But I don't think that the Yankees are going to be key players in these big name free agents, which at the beginning of the offseason, I would have thought you were crazy if you would have said at this point, these guys are still on the board and the Yankees haven't struck. I think the Yankees are happy with where they are. I think the Yankees are going to roll the dice and see how it plays out. But in the long run, I see the big name guys ending up elsewhere and finding new homes as the season approaches. That's going to wrap up today's show. As always, we appreciate you all for listening and taking time out of your day to talk some Yankees baseball with us. As always, find us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND. You can find my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Find us on Apple Podcasts. Rate, review, subscribe, comment, leave your feedback on Apple. We appreciate all the feedback we do receive. Find us also on Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Google Play Music, and Simplecast. There are a lot of ways to listen to our show. We hope that you are taking the time out of your day to listen in. Share the link with your friends. They just might want to join in on the conversation as well. Send us some feedback, comments, anything that could be heard, any feedback we will potentially use on our show. As always, we love talking Yankees baseball. It's a privilege of ours, and we are super excited for the start of spring training as we're creeping closer to that reporting date. And it can't come soon enough. Can't wait to watch some Yankees baseball and talk some more Yankees stuff regarding actual games and spring training. Because let's face it, we're all excited for opening day. And it can't come soon enough. Until next time, let's go Yankees. Keep supporting the team with pride. And let's hope that 2019 brings another World Series championship to its rightful home in the Bronx. We'll see you next time here on the Pinstripe Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Thanks for listening.